Yeah, just if you just run okay all the way down, unless you really object, then you don't get any cake.
Wow.
Thank you, Lee. That's really nice.
Ah, you're a sweet guy. Why not? Gonna miss you, kiddo.
Thank you. I'll miss you guys too. But you know what? The best thing is, I'll see y'all in about 3 weeks.
That's a good thing.
Me.
Me.
You're
going
to be out in California, aren't
you? I can't go.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm really
That's
not.
That's a bummer.
Are you going to?
It is.
You're going to just. So you're just going to see me.
I have to correct you, Tam, you know, right afterward. And I really objected to doing it by fax and doing it by mail. I really did.
This is stupid. What's that?
Well, to see you. I think we're all here. The My Case people are here. And let me introduce the director of English Language Institute, John Swales.
Hi.
Who's one of the brainchild, if not the brainchild, behind this. And who's been involved actually in teaching a lot of our foreign students English and written language.
Yes, I teach.
Through your course.
Dissertation writing for non-native speakers, research paper writing. Occasionally have a student from this part of the world. Or sometimes a visiting scholar.
And it's a follow-up from last week's paper before Heidi gets going. Remember I talked about a mutation in a mismatch repair gene. PMS2, and that if the mouse was a knockout, there was no mutation. And Wes made the comment at the end of one of many that wouldn't it be nice to do this in a regular immune response? So the latest abstracts that just came out from FASA has an abstract in it from Pat Gerhardt's lab, and they did immunize the mouse using the V-kappa ox system, which is oxazolone, the one that Mel Stein studied for years and years and years. The mutations are perfectly normal. There's no difference between the knockout and the wild type. None, except there's tandem repeats. So instead of these scattered mutations, there are like doublets and maybe triplets that are more common. Mutations that are more common than they would have in their control. And they think that maybe those normally occur as a part of somatic mutations, and one of those doublets, and again you're inferring from the abstracts you don't really know, gets normally repaired by the mismatch repair system. But that's basically all there is. That's the only difference there really is. So there's something. Remember we had a major problem with that crazy population that was B220, and it was not described in this previous paper when we talked about this mouse. Plus the fact that it was a crazy mouse. It was that QM mouse that had a knock-in on a light heavy chain locus on one allele and was knocked out on the other, so the only thing it could express was one single heavy chain. So
a lot of selection. A
lot of different kinds of selection had an impact on so it's interesting that an article in Science which made the news and views may not be as straightforward as one might think. I think that's how embarrassing it turns out to be true. Oh, gosh. Well, it's probably real. It's just it's an artifact.
I know.
Heidi.
Am I up? Okay.
You can certainly start.
So, we have been trying to determine, if you remember, a lot of my work was focused on determining whether hypersensitive site 2 in the gamma 1 locus is really important. Okay, and I showed you a lot of band shift data earlier on where we found NF kappa V binding sites and STAT6 binding sites, etc., etc. So this is the 17 kb gamma 1 locus, it has the I region. Site 2 is located here in between the small switch region and the large switch region, and then it has the constant region. So Kirk, when he was in the lab, made a transgene that contained the I region, contained this, the promoter of the I region, the small bit of switch through site 2, and then he put on a foreign splice site. And they showed that those transgenes when injected into mice were properly regulated, which suggested to us that maybe site 2 was required for regulation of germline transcripts. So a second transcript or a second transgene was created. This one that has the I region, it has the small switch region, and then site 2 is eliminated from this transgene, but they included in one of the exons from the gamma 1 constant region, CH3. Okay. And what we've been trying to do is determine if this transgene is correctly regulated. And Kirk studied 3 mice. He studied 3251, 3262, and 3383. You can see their copy number here, and only one of them, 3383, is properly regulated. And the other two were so low copy number, and they just couldn't determine it. So we created 5 more lines with this transgene. Those are listed here, and I only have data today from 2 of them. The others will be coming out later in the week. We have several ways that we analyze these transgenes for expression. First of all, we have been looking at their endogenous locus just to make sure that we see upregulation of endogenous gamma-1 gene when treated with LPS plus IL-4 over LPS alone. And to look at the endogenous locus, we use a primer that's in the I region, 1264, and then we use a primer that's in the gamma-1 constant region. And we analyze that with primer 1263, and that's shown here, or that probe is there. We then to look for splice transcript products, we have 2 methods, well, 3. We either use primer 1264, which is in the I exon, and primer 8419, which we generated, which is a primer that spans this splice site. So it's only going to detect properly spliced transcripts. So it starts in the CH3 and it ends on the other side of the splice, which is just this side of the switch region, okay? And we detect that with 1263 probe. Another way that we've used to detect this is we'll use this primer set, 1264 and 3796, which is actually in CH3, and then we will either probe that with 1263, which in that case, it would not have to be absolutely correctly spliced to see it, right? Because this could be screwed up a little, or we probe it with 8419, which would mean it has to be correctly spliced to see it.
But I mean, can't you tell by the size?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
You're running these on inaugural shells, right?
Yeah.
What's the size of the transgene? So between 8419 or 3796 and the I region.
It's like 40 or 50 base pairs max. You can't tell it when you're running on agarose below it. You can't tell the difference.
Why is 8419 picking up correctly spliced?
Because that primer was made through the splice site.
So if it's spliced, it would be negative.
So if it splices, it's positive.
Isn't the splice acceptor on the beginning of CH3?
Yes, and this primer spans that. No, it spans. The splicing goes like this. I couldn't draw this that way, but the splice part goes like this, and this primer spans from that through
to the
eye.
Okay,
sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. All right. So when we look at 3383 Kirk did this work, using 1264 and 3796 and probing with 1263, okay, you see properly regulated splice transcripts, properly regulated transcripts, okay? So you don't see it in LPS, but you do see it with LPS plus IL-4. If
If I take and use the same primers, 1264 and 8419, and probe with 12, I'm sorry, if I take 1264 and 3796 and probe with 1263A, you get properly regulated transcripts. If you take the same primers, 1264 and 3796, and probe with this splice rigid product, that you see expression in both LPS and LPS plus IL-4 to the same level. Okay, this is just a new technique. We are completely confused with what's happening. That's why I'm starting from scratch and giving you all the data. So for 3383, if I use these primers and I use the 1263A probe,
you get right regulation.
Right regulation.
Yeah.
If I use the splice region
you
probe,
don't.
I don't.
So what's the difference? Wait a minute.
Exactly. The only difference is this 1263A, this splicing event doesn't have to occur exactly correctly. Does that make sense?
So you have a couple of possibilities. One is it's endogenous, and you're getting this screwy splicing all the way down to CH3. Do you have a control that rules that out? I don't think that's likely, because it'll go to the...
No, wait a minute. Doesn't matter whether you have a splice or not. You're going to get the product by 8419 if you're coming from the outside primer. I think that's why I'm confused.
No, it's not splicing. See, the 8419 primer is half CH3 and roughly a half IX on. So I'd
right.
only pick up the splicing that they're imagining.
But we're detecting it with that in LPS as well as LPS plus IL-4. It's not like we're not detecting that at all. We're detecting it as no regulation anymore. It's expressed in both LPS and LPS plus IL-4. But there's no regulation.
Okay.
No, 8419. Okay, so you're using the outside primer.
Right, the outside primers, 1264 and 3796.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That will contain the fragments, either 1263 or the 8419.
Correct. If we use 1263A, we see proper regulation. If we use 8419, there's no regulation. We see expression in LPS as well as LPS plus IL-4.
Hence the confusion.
This is just one of the confusions. I'm going to get some more.
Let's figure out possibilities here first. If you're going to have more, you better diagram this. You better give these results to the board.
Because either way, you should have kept the product.
Okay. So, let's see.
Maybe you could just do it right here, Heidi. Just put 8419 on one line and drop 1253 down to the next line and put the results over the right of that.
This for 3383 is LPS positive, LPS plus IL-4 positive. For 3383, this is LPS negative, LPS plus IL-4 positive. Nevertheless, we believe that this transgene, up to this point, Wes hasn't even seen this data, but up to this point, we believe that this transgene was properly regulated in this mouse, these mice. Up to this last piece of data, which I just did with the 8419 probe.
Okay, I guess what's confusing is, so if you did PCR from 1264 with the 3796,
mm-hmm.
what's going to be the positive products with or without proper splicing?
Well,
can you draw that on the board as well so we can see whether we're going to have the 8419 in them? They will going to
well,
have
the possible, I mean, this is the splice donor, this is the splice acceptor, right?
Right. So
8419 spans here to here.
Right.
So
either doesn't, right? So that's why the splicing doesn't matter. you're going to get 8419.
At least part of it should hybridize.
Right.
Correct. Regardless of what you get, whether you have the splicing is weird, you should still have half of this labeled oligo hybridizing.
Right.
But that's not the issue.
The issue is
positive
not that.
LPS.
The issue is
right,
that.
So that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But if you use 1263, you do get proper regulation.
Right. And I've seen this result now. Wes thought, the first time we saw this with 8419, Wes thought maybe this, I made the cDNA wrong and I made LPS plus IL-4 for LPS. This is the second time I've seen this result with the 8419 probe.
Actually, you can ask the question with the first pair. Is there any difference in the intensity of LPS plus IL?
I did a dilution analysis. I don't know if you guys can see this. I'll do it up here.
What happened with A if you use the 8419 as a primer?
Sorry?
No, for the primer set, it's at 1264 and 8419.
I've never done it.
Oh, you haven't?
I haven't used 8419 as a probe. You mean as a probe there? Or is the...
No, if you use the 1263 as a probe, do you see proper regulation?
Using the primer pair, 1263.
This one?
Yeah.
A.
What
do you see?
We see... I think that's on a blot right now, to be completely honest.
It is.
Yeah, that's on a blot right now as we speak. I don't think I have that data for you.
Okay.
So if you look down here in this area, can everybody see that?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is 3383. These three lanes, 1, 2, and 3 are LPS. 1, 2, and 3 are LPS plus IL-4. This is dilution. Same concentration of cDNA pretty much to start from I by HPRT analysis. 3 lambdas, 3 quarters lambdas, 3 16th lambdas. You can see that they both even out at about, I mean, LPS plus IL-4 might have a little bit more.
What's the dilution series?
Sorry?
3-fold dilution?
4-fold dilutions.
So at most it might be a 2-fold difference.
Maybe, yeah. And that could be accounted for, like I said, by I looking at HPRT. You know, you just... kind of guess. So to me that's pretty, it's there and it's pretty close. I'm not sure that I don't have that data here.
I don't know, you didn't see for the 1263.
With LPS?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's...
Oh wait, I think I lied. Maybe not. I have done what you just made. Okay. If you do the 1263, I've only done this once, the second one is on blot now. If you use 1264 and 3796 as your primers,
mm-hmm.
and then you probe.
No, that's.
Never mind.
Yeah.
You
do the eight,
that's not
B.
What you wanted.
Right.
Okay, here's what you want. You wanted.
A.
But no, I think that one's on film now.
Do you know if the product in the, when probe with 8419 is the right size? I mean, within 40 base pairs.
It looks like it.
Really?
And that's the best I can tell you is that it looks like it.
Gotta be some kind of mark.
But you didn't pick it up by, I guess, from the non-transgenic, do you?
Oh, yeah, sorry. This is non-transgenic out here. LPS, LPS plus IL-4. You
okay.
Don't see it.
Have you amped with 8419 at all?
With 3383?
Anything. Well, yes, it'd have to be that one. Right. Or 30, well, no, yeah, 30, anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it functions okay as a primer?
Yeah. show you that data in a minute.
Well, maybe it was sitting down someplace, you know, inappropriately, but that's not.
Okay, I'm going to go on to the next line, because I don't, I think you need to see it all, and then maybe we can talk about it.
But when you do the PCR, they are coming from the same RNA prep? In other words, same
This treatment? Is the exact, all this is done with the same cDNA. All of these that I'll show you are with the same cDNA samples. Okay, so let's talk about line 4503. I'll just show you this really quick. if you look along the bottom, just so you know that the endogenous is doing what it's supposed to be doing. So starting on this side, this is LPS plus IL-4 for this line. This is amplifying the endogenous locus, so with these primers up here. This is LPS plus IL-4 and five-fold increase in concentrations. This is LPS with five-fold increase in concentrations. This one and this one are the same concentration of cDNA.
So
we're looking at...
One, two, three...
At least...
125.
At least...
Nice.
So now if you take okay, so now if we look at if we look for the transgene in these mice, looking with 1264 and 8419 and probing with 1263, that's down here.
This is the old three mouse?
4503, yeah. Okay, so if we look here, you've got three lanes here. This is LPS, three concentrations with fourfold dilutions, starting highest to lowest. This is LPS plus IL-4, highest concentration to lowest concentration. You can't see. Non-transgenic controls are LPS, LPS plus IL-4 out here. So you can see in this one, it looks properly regulated.
With a different set of parameters.
With those. I don't have 3383 data to show
but
you.
But with the same probe. So the probes are being consistent with different parameters.
Right.
On different mice, but they're still consistent.
Do you know where the 8419?
1264, 30, okay. If I take, this is the best mouse we have right now. If I take this set and I do 1264 and 3796 with the 8419,
uh-huh.
Same thing. Three lines here, three lanes here with LPS, decreasing fourfold concentration. LPS plus IL-4, fourfold increase. So here,
it's
all consistent. It's beautiful for 45.
So then chuck the S3383.
So, and I'll reprobe this blot with 1263, but I just got this stuff off. So 4503 looks great. It's beautiful. It does everything we expect it to do.
There's something wrong with the S3383.
Now.
You can say that, but it still doesn't. We that's not... an answer to the problem.
If we look at
something else is coming.
4507.
Is it from LPS?
Okay. So again, now we're going to look at the endogenous for 4507. These primers, this probe, starting with the same concentrations of cDNA, starting with two lambdas here for LPS, five-fold dilutions out to here, starting with the same concentration of LPS plus IL-4. Which is here, five-fold dilutions out to here. This blot looks crappy, I know. So you can see in this one, there's not the endogenous, the induction did not work very well for the endogenous here.
Or maybe you got IL-4 with IL-3. Isn't it an awful lot with LPS compared to the other mouse?
Yeah. Okay. If line 40. If we look at, now, I have something else on this blot, so I know that the blot worked and the probe worked for something else. Over here, this is 1264-8419, probing with 1263A. This half of the blot is concentrated of LPS and LPS plus IL-4. And as you can see, this is the same amplification, same PCR for another line, and it worked. So we see absolutely nothing for this line. And again, I have to re-probe that with 1263A.
So it's going to be like 51 and 62.
Yeah, and it's high copy number. I mean, well, we always thought 51 and 62 were because they were one copy. But now we've got one that...
Are they head to tail? Do you know that?
I think they are, but...
Have you done the wraparound?
Yeah, for sure.
Because if they're maybe you've got a competition head to tail here, and that is what's preventing at least one of the internal copies from expressing properly, or expressing at all.
Or it's completely an insertion site dependent transgene, or I don't. All as far as I can remember, all of them went head to tail. Okay, also I should show you this piece, using this one I showed you down here was this with nothing for this line. Okay, the one I showed you, there's nothing for it, it doesn't matter. This one, if I do it with this set here, that's up here.
For below, which probe did you use? Your body was blocking, so 8419 or
1264?
8419. Okay, that's our
now for this one, which is 1264 and 8419 primer, 1263 probe, we've got three concentrations of LPS, three concentrations of LPS plus IL-4. There might be something in that strongest concentration of LPS plus IL-4, but
anyway, it's not responding in either with either set. Or something, yeah. Okay. So at least that's internally consistent, the 07-.
So that is where we stand. We've got three more lines. These two will have data on by Monday. This one has been just a hell breeder, and so we haven't killed it yet. We now have one transgenic offspring out of eight litters. And so we're going to finally kill that mother and do some work with her, but we're kind of left wondering what's going on with this transgene, and we wondered if you had any suggestions. We don't seem to be able to have any consistency at all with this, our primer pairs and our the data that comes out.
Yeah, but you have three lines that are essentially 51, 62, and 07 are essentially non-responders. So then
07 might have had a little bit in this.
Okay, a little bit, at the high concentration, the highest level. Okay. So, well, first of all, bears repeating, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But we can say that those three lines are non-responding. They're missing, either it's an insertion site effect, which is, boy, that's the way to see what if you see this again with the higher copy numbers.
Well, these two are both one copy.
Oh, geez.
And then this guy is greater than 8.
Okay.
But yeah.
This is a higher frequency of negative than you normally would have with a transgene.
Yeah.
So it could be it's a critical element. But on the other hand, with two of the lines, 83 and 03, you at least have proper regulation. Screw results was one of the priors in probe, but you know, let's
right.
not worry about that right now.
Okay.
You do have proper regulation.
Two out of 8.
Well, we don't know about those last three yet.
So then you have to figure out what you make of that.
I know.
I mean, it looks like it's showing a strong dependency on where the hell it is. Don't you think? for something that normally shows copy number independence.
Mm-hmm.
Position independence.
And, yeah.
Site 2 is critical.
Maybe, I mean.
So those two lines with the one copy, they're, the expression level is too low, that's why you can't really.
I didn't even work with those two mice. Those were totally curved.
He used it by PCR.
He did it by PCR. He
yeah.
used, but the only method Kirk ever used was this one right here.
Okay.
And you have to use PCR, by the, obviously, to take out that switch region on any of our transgenes and you're resolving the PCR to look at it. Now, the other thing I should bring up is that before I was in the lab, a long time before I was in the lab, the lab made a bunch of promoter transgenes fused to four different reporter constructs, three different reporter constructs, cat, luciferase, and three. And none of those were properly regulated.
How much of promoter?
How much? The whole, as far as I know, the whole promoter. Didn't they go to here? I don't remember where they went. Do you know?
You mean from the eye region up?
Yeah.
There was like a minus 14 something or other, minus
14K?
Two.
No.
1400 base pair.
Oh, okay.
Minus 200 and something.
Yeah.
150 or something.
They did the whole thing that's been reported to be required for transcription. And with three different attached to three different reporter constructs, none of those worked. So the question is, if this thing isn't, is if this thing isn't properly regulated,
it's critical.
Then what was, you know?
So you have data for five of them. Let's just ignore the ones that have a low copy number at the moment.
Okay.
And so two of the three that you have, you've seen indications that they are properly regulated, even though the amount of transcripts you get is lower than what you would normally see, right?
If you're counting 3383?
Yeah.
Which has the one screw result?
Yeah.
Correct, yes.
So that's 56%, 2 out of 3 are actually being properly regulated.
Okay.
The ones that Kirk did previously with a low copy number, maybe
right.
just low copy number and hard to detect.
Right, exactly.
And because you've been doing it much more than he has, that you might have been able to detect that. Or that just maybe that those have been, that only have low copy, one copy. But those copies have been altered in some manner anyway.
Possible.
So again, I wouldn't look at it as being unsuccessfully looked at the moment.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And also not that site 2 might not be important, but you don't know that because you don't know whether it's site 2 that's in conjunction with the lack of the switch region is causing low expression of the strand gene. Or site 2 itself has something to do with the intensity of the expression. But I would look at 2 out of 3, for the most part, of giving proper regulation, at least induction with IL-4 of whatever transcripts you have there, is a good sign.
Except if you wanted site 2 to be.
Well, no, yeah.
Important.
Well, it's low, so it could be important.
Well, the low Wes had decided was due to the
lack of switching.
Yeah.
But we don't, as I said, we don't know if in conjunction
right.
it's also causing it. Because this still has the static site that's 5' prime of the
mm-hmm.
of the eye region, which is going to promote induction by IL-4.
Well, the other thing is with these, we can't look at recombination.
Right.
Now, we don't know if site 2's role may be at recombination level, and we just, you know, discuss that here. But for all you've been asking, that's what I've been doing.
So those that transgene had the same length of the promoter as you just said, which didn't work in the transfection? The one you guys use the same length of the promoter?
No.
You knew each
other. No, no. We looked at whether just the promoter alone could cause properly regulated transcription of this transgene. And they saw when they linked that up to a recorder constructs and these were injected into mice, they did not see expression of those constructs.
I think there's other, don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure there's other constructs which work perfectly well, properly regulated, high level expression. For example, they had the Swiss region and they had the same amount of promoter. So I don't think that.
This is the length of promoter that we've got here is the same one we've used in all of our transgenes that have worked.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, nothing was truncated for this in that region, up through the eye region for this transgene.
So remind us of the Site 2 knockout looks like. As far as,
you mean the one they're
just
doing?
Does it still have all the switch region and the entire C region?
So you
can study for combination, you know
anything with this at all. Wes did this completely. We talked about it over a year ago, how he was going to do it, and we talked about it. I cannot remember, to be completely honest.
I think part of the switch region is gone.
I believe that's true as well.
But it still
has
intact C region, so we can look.
Yeah.
And it has a number of base pairs of the switch region, including noctamers, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it is smaller.
John, you make a good point. That is that there does, at least in two of the transgene arrangements, it does have these essential elements for proper regulation, albeit in the lower.
Yeah, and again, but that doesn't mean that Site 2 is not important for what's going on.
Yeah, no, I got that.
So that is really confusing when you use two different probes for the same, or that would happen. That's from the same PCR reaction, right? You're just taking it and probing it with two different probes.
For this part B?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really odd.
Yeah. I probe it, I strip it, I reprobe it, and I see it.
And you've seen it before, so it's with different cDNAs?
With different, for 3383, this is the second time I've seen it. Anything else in here that I can show you?
Different RNA prep. Or cDNA from the same RNA prep.
It's all cDNA from the same RNA. We've only killed one mouse for each of these experiments.
So is it possible to make the LPS alone, is not LPS alone, LPS with alpha?
The endogenous doesn't suggest that. I've done endogenous analysis on all of these.
Okay.
The endogenous does not suggest
that. Plus, the 3383 is a probe. I mean,
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Plus,
63 is negative. So, those. Is it possible the 8419 somehow. No, it doesn't make sense. I never mind.
And I don't have the data. This is being repeated. But I can tell you that when we use 1264 and 8419 primers and 1263A probe for 3383 at a previous time, we saw expression with LPS and with LPS plus alpha. I haven't done that again. That's on film.
Okay,
now.
So as long as if you include 8419, you do see from LPS, right?
That's what it's for that line. That's what it's looking like. If we've got 8419 involved at all, we're seeing it in both.
Yeah.
Crossed the bridge with a troll underneath it and thought you'd escaped him and you didn't.
Yeah.
These probes are end labeled with oligos, right?
These are kind of labeled oligos.
Yeah. Are the intensities equivalent, basically, between those two probes when you probe the same PCR reaction?
My recollection is yes. I don't think I have that data here. But my recollection is yes.
Just a thought.
The endogenous should splice between the I region and CH1. Shouldn't splice with CH3.
No reason it would pick it up if a little bit of it on the prime end of that oligo, or the, well, three prime end of the oligo would actually hybridize with the I region.
And I guess the sequence of 8419 is not going to be in the CH1.
You went through significant pains to make sure
that
that was
true.
I bet you guys did.
Yeah, that was definitely something we were very careful about.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Big pause.
How about you guys? Anything?
We don't have any.
Before you destroyed the cake, what did it say? I missed that all.
Oh, I'm sorry. It said happy prospecting night. You go to California.
So nice.
California, you prospect. Just
so
remember where all the gold.
We'll be prospecting at the wineries.
So she's gonna treat us well when we go over there.
Yeah.
See.
She better.
I'm gonna be living at Kurt's parents' house when you guys come.
They only live there in California.
They live in Saratoga, which is 20 minutes from Sanford. So. We're going to just stay with them until we find a place. We have two extra rooms.
It's going to be expensive over there.
Yeah, it is.
So you have to have a job.
Well, that's the general plan, is that I go get a job. But it sounds like the job market is huge out there. I mean, look at Charlene. Charlene moved out there, and she got a job within a month of moving out there, and then she just applied for a better job and got it instantly.
Really?
So there's lots.
Maybe I should have thinking of them too.
And she said that the company she's working at now is hiring. So.
Mm.
I think it's more.
I bet they're going to pay more than they're paying here.
Right? Oh, yeah. But you're going to pay living expenses, and it's a bit higher. My sister lives out there.
Yeah,
I know what her house is.
It's a lot higher.
Hey, why don't you do this? Because we have to decide whether or not we're really going to, how much more we're going to pursue this.
Remember, you guys had no suggestions. I'm just kidding.
We tried a whole bunch.
I know.
Sure, the brain cells here.
I guess we just look at the rest of the lines. And
yep.
Then it's next student in the lab's headache.
Well, but the controls with endogenous work. So wasn't this really a problem, potential problem, in case you had a splice that you couldn't distinguish the endogenous from the transgenic?
At first we were worried that the 1264-3796 primer combo with the 1263A probe, that 3796, which sits down in CH3, we were worried it was sitting down in CH1.
Right.
And so we were worried what we were seeing was endogenous,
right,
and not transgene. And so 8419 was created so that it would be transgene specific. And now we've got all these problems.
But
because the transgene looks like it's not being expressed correctly now.
But the endogenous you showed us isn't positive for that 30.
Not now. At one point it was.
Okay.
Yeah, these last few experiments I've been doing, the non-transgenics have come up negative. Previous to that, before we made 8419, the non-transgenics were coming up positive. Of course, fix one problem and
sure,
you get eight more.
Well, one of them is the mouse. One is the mouse.
Hmm?
One of them is the mouse. You can't do anything about that. Or the transgene and insertions. You can't do anything about that. Or the transgene.
But I'm making new, for each of these lines today, I'm making, setting up new cultures. So we'll have two mice from each of the lines we'll look at. So.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to eat the rose. You could have just scooped it right off.
So
well,
good.
You gave me.
Plenty of sugar and fat.
Oh. Yeah, I forgot to ask for a fat cake.
Yeah, right.
So I just wasn't sure that you were going to be here next Friday. I had this feeling that depending on how things are going, I wasn't going to take a chance. So.
It's my choice would be now.
Yeah.
We get the truck Saturday morning. And they're hoping to leave Sunday afternoon. And so my choice would be that I have pretty much everything wrapped up in here by Wednesday or so I can be packing. But,
yeah.
You know, we'll see how it goes.
I may have to do experiments on Sunday morning. Who knows?
Ask a John to take over.
Yeah, John will be thrilled.
He's already, I can see it.
That'll start gathering dust quickly.
Yeah, not like you don't have enough of a problem of your own to work out.
Fat-free cake, by the way, is an oxymoron.
The what?
I said fat-free cake, by the way, is an oxymoron.
It's green frosting is good.
Yeah, it's almost as good as a pig, though.
You have to eat the real stuff,
okay.
Not the fake one.
Right?
Either
sort of
eat or don't
you
eat.
Run and
yeah.
Run an extra 3 miles.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of like saying Denver and Super Bowl champions.
Okay.
Okay. So the current research in our lab is to looking at the relationship between cis elements and somatic hypermutations in B region and adjacent regions. In collaboration with Bill Grant of the University of Texas in Dallas, we are looking at the MAO region and the somatic mutations. basically, Bill Grant made knockout mice, so they knock out the MAO region. MAO is the matrix attachment region. It locates between the immunoglobulin B region and the C region in the intron, in the JC intron. So they knock out this region, so it's 420 BP. We cut the knockout mice from them, and we keep them in our mice colony. And when they are 5 months or 6 months old, we use them for research here. So basically what we did was to kill mice and recover the pies patch cells, and then we stem with the B220 and PNA. So then we got the population like this. Yeah. So then we sort the B220 positive and the PNA low cells versus B220 positive PNA high cells. So this population of cells are low cells in the germinal centers. So we are going to study both populations, but for now we just look at this PNA high population first. When we got the cells, we lysed them and we use the PCR to recover the segment we need. So in this case, we use the primer here. this is the B cavity general primer, and the one other primer is here. Downstream of JCAP 5. So then we got this fragment by PCR, then we clone this fragment into plasmid and then sequence them. So this is what we got so far, the sequencing data here. For sequencing, we still use the same primer as that we used for PCR. Three segments of sequence data are available here. So for this segment from the GCAP5 downstream work, the 160 BP. For the wild type, this wild type mice here, out of 8 clones, we got the mutation 2.4 mutation per 160 BP. Compared with the knockout here, we got 1.0 mutation. This is out of 6 clones. We need to do more of this. See, the difference is not too much. So our hypothesis is that this MAR region is important in regulating hypermutations. With the knockout, we expect to see the mutation frequency goes down, possibly down to near zero here.
But still, it's lower though. I mean, all three of them, right?
What?
Five all the way.
Yeah. And for this segment, for the downstream, so this segment is closer to the MAR region here. You can see the numbering system here going down. We sequence here, this roughly 160 BP, something like that. So we got 0.88 mutations for the wild type. This data is out of 8 clones we sequenced so far.
Why don't you put the number of clones that had more than, say, one or two mutations?
Okay.
Let's say more than two.
More than two mutations. So this, if the one...
Underneath each one of those columns.
Okay.
Just put, you know, X out of 8 or...
This, we got two clones. This 2 out of 8. Here we got one.
One?
Yeah.
I thought there were three.
Yeah, it's one. The problem is we got one with five mutations here.
What were the other ones?
This one.
Two or more, I'm sorry.
Oh, two or more, okay, now we got two. Yeah, this here, we got two sequences with three mutations each.
Then do the other ones, too. We still haven't done the control yet. With this,
Five.
And here, any mutation may be relevant because PCR errors are much lower. But, and the one down here has like what, five?
Yeah.
Now the one
and
below.
The one.
Yeah, this guy has five mutations.
In one clone.
Yeah, in one clone.
But the one, it has not yet been sequenced for three prime of it. And the two that have mutations.
Doesn't have any mutation upstream.
It hasn't been sequenced yet. We couldn't read the sequences.
Oh, okay.
So he's redoing them using a different primer.
Okay.
So it may all of a sudden that jumps up to three. We end up with three and three. And then it becomes
it's
not different
same.
At
yeah,
all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
And so the question is, you know, he's doing this, but then how far do we really want to go with this? Because now you're going to talk about, since we can't immunize and get a VH and a VL that we know something about, these mice don't respond unless we back cross them on appropriate strains of mice, which I'm not sure it's worth all that kind of work. So,
but I mean, still, you know, it's so the number of clones may be similar between R plus plus or minus minus, but overall, the frequency is going to be less.
Yeah,
might be a little lower.
In the end, we may see there are two or three fold drop between these two in the end. So I'm not sure whether that data is convincing.
We'd have to treat it statistically, and I suspect with 8 and 15 phones that won't be the case. We won't be able to prove that.
Yeah, we can do more clones of this. We have a lot of this. We can do this.
And 15 is about it for the 3928 high?
Yeah, we can possibly do more migrations, get more clones.
It might be better to do a different mouse, though. Do two additional mice, or at least another knockout mouse. Then you have you're really repeating the experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can sort another mouse.
But at least at the present time, it certainly does not eliminate mutations.
So the MAR only has an effect 5' of it?
I mean, if that is what the hypothesis is that the MAR is only going to affect 5' of where?
Don't know that. There's a paper that's been submitted by Milstein that he references in a paper that he published that indicates that he studied this in transgenic mice, which is problematic because if you move the MAR, say, 5' of a construct and you have a tandem repeat, it's 3' of the one in front of it.
So,
I mean, unless you're looking at individual copies or you've got some way of doing it, that's not a particularly doable experiment in that format. There's other ways of doing the experiment, and maybe he did it that way. So he's smart. If he did it, he won't make that kind of mistake. So that's not known.
Yeah.
What the relative importance of MAR is. This really stems from work that we actually thought it probably would have an effect because either on transcription, which could have a dampening effect on mutation frequency, just an accessibility issue.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a little bit.
So it does a little bit. Yeah, at the most you can say that. But.
Yeah, I was like expecting a greater difference than what you're saying here.
Yeah, Bill Garrard says the MAR is important. He's studied the MAR for, I don't know, 15 so years. And he's got, as I said last time we talked about this, he's got a MAR, the NAR that gave us the MAR knockout, and they have looked extensively for all kinds of effects on B cell development, B expression of different genes, and found nothing. So it's whatever it is, it's apparently pretty subtle. Or else he's not asking the right question. So we have generated a hybridoma that I'm going to send him, which has a known B kappa that he can study compared to a control animal for transcription rates. So he'll do, nuclear runoffs, presumably. But I have a hunch it's going to be one of these great big papers. It's got 20 authors on it. So the mouse is normal. Okay, anybody else? You guys are decided to stop.
We're cooking something.
You're cooking something?
Yes.
God, you guys need to explain what you got instead of cooking all of them. No. Okay.